Getting class, Sunday school. Well, last week I tried to wrap up. Well, we wrapped up, open up the scroll. And I was going to stop right there, and basically I have, but there's still questions. There's still question is, we started out trying to answer the question when the disciples were asking that question in all that discourse. And if you dig a little deeper in the Word, it scattered throughout all the prophecy and even back to Psalms, you find answers. So we're going to look at some of those today and what's going on in the world today that's pointing toward the return of Christ. Prayer request for Miss Vickers. She's having a test done this week on her esophagus and those things to see what's going on there for her on Thursday. So we need to pray for Miss Vickers that they can figure that out and help get that fixed. Okay. Other than that, I know there's lots of prayer requests, and we usually go over those on Wednesday night about this and that. So continue to pray for my wife, Debbie. She has a test in 2 or 3 weeks, I think, somewhere in there. That's going to tell her what this current medicine is doing for her. Praise the Lord, she's been doing really well. Thank you that she's not been sick from any medicine. She's just done very well. And thank you for your prayers on that. Okay, let's get started. This lesson is called What's Going On in Our World Today? And we know it's a mess, but it's been a mess for a long time, even back in the day of David. When he wrote the Psalms, that we're going to be looking at Psalms 2 today. And the first part of that Psalms and the last part of that Psalms, we'll look at that next week. Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. And you're ever dying, we're ever dying, and wherever promises from heaven, a home there forever. Lord, we thank you for what you did on that cross. Thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for raising again. And now you're sitting at the right hand of God, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing for us today, and in the past, and going to do in the future. So many of those things we've been talking about in the past month of what you're going to do, that you're ready to come in the clouds. We're just on the edge of that, Lord, and we see that every day. Lord, we praise your name for your promises and how you're going to take care of your church, those that are saved. Lord, today give us an understanding of the world that we live in and how it fits in what the Bible says. Lord, we love you and thank you. Give us understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen. What's going on in the world today? In Psalms 2, we'll read there in a minute. This psalm was written by David, and in the New Testament refers to it in a couple ways. In Acts 4:25, it says, "Who by the mouth of the servant of David has said," and then let's go, and it says, "Why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things." So that's the first verse there in Psalms chapter 2. It says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against the anointing, saying, let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." What that's saying right there, David wrote then, and we see that happening over and over, especially with the nation of Israel. We see in the Old Testament that the nation of Israel went through these periods of times where they would be worshiping the Lord, and then they would fall into sin by idols, and then they would fall into servitude by some nation. Then they would cry out to the Lord, and they would get themselves right, saved, and they'd start serving the Lord again. And that circle over and over all through the Old Testament happened to the nation of Israel. Now that has fell over on mankind, because we see in the New Testament, after the Old Testament, 400 years of silence, then we come into the New Testament and it starts talking about Christ coming on the scene, about his birth, about his life, in the Gospels, tells what's going on in that period of time. And the nations at that time meet this criteria. They were raging, they were against God. We know that they hung Christ on the cross. They thought they'd done away with him. Of course, he's alive and well in heaven. And then they started persecuting the church. Then the Roman Empire in 70 AD destroys Jerusalem, destroys the temple, thinking that they were going to squash out the New Testament church. And a remnant remained. And we have the New Testament church today that was established by the disciples back in those days, by Paul and all the other disciples in their preaching. The New Testament church, the people that are saved in this dispensation that we're in, this time period after the cross, before the rapture, that's where we live. And the question we've all been asking, the question that the disciples were asking there in Matthew, the Olivet Discourse, they were saying, when shall we see these things? When will this happen? Of course, the Bible tells us that no man knows exactly when the rapture is going to happen, but it does give indications and signs of things that are going to happen. Now, let's kind of start looking at the world that we live in, the view of Earth. We've got three things that we're going to look at here, and I think I'm just going to get through the view of Earth today, and then next week we're going to look at the view from heaven, of heaven, and the voice from heaven to the inhabitants of the earth next week. I think I can get to that next week. But just this week, we're going to go into this part number one. The question is, why are all the international conflicts and individual confusion? We see the conflicts is raging around the world. Again, we have a major war in Central Europe. Of course, the Bible talks about there's been so much speculation over the last 50 years in Revelation, you know, the conflict that's going to cause the bear to come down from the north, and we speculate that Russia's part of that, and they're going to eventually get down and try to take out Israel. It's all about Israel in the rapture. We can see all this stuff shaping up even more today with this new conflict that we have in the Ukraine. That part of the world is a beautiful part of the world, but it's amazingly different than here in the United States, especially here in the Bible Belt. We basically have believed, do believe, have families that were believers, have teachers and preachers and cousins and everybody that's been involved in church through the generations in this part of the world. Sometimes we get and we forget how blessed we are to have what we have. And the last time I was in Ukraine, those people were so void of God's word, so void of the truth. They were starved to death for Bibles and truth. And you see those big buildings that's been bombed on the news and the big concrete high-rises. We went into areas around those things and into a... Most of them had some kind of central court out in front of them in a group of those concrete buildings and people living. And we went there and start preaching. And hundreds of people and hundreds of kids would come out of there. And people would get saved right and left, just by hearing the word. Nothing special about it. You just preach the word. how needful it is today. And I think about all those people that's gotten killed there today that have not heard the word. Where are they going to be? We know where they'll be. Maybe some of those people that heard the word when we were there and didn't get saved. It's scary to think about all that. Sad, sad. The fact is the word needs to be taught and preached, not only in foreign countries, but in this country, the shape that we're in, this question of international conflicts, that concerns us, but individual confusion today in society that we have, the confusion, the word heathen is better translated to nations in that verse, and the rage, I don't know if there's a better translation for rage today. We see road rage. We see rage in school systems. It's just from society we think that adults rage, but we're looking at children that are raging now. The society's in a point that they don't know God, they don't want to know God. They want to do what they want to do. Rage is one of the main characteristics of society that we live in. I hate to even say that. That rage is a characteristic of the society that we live in. It doesn't seem like any movement that you see people protesting in the street for this or that, that there's rage. Now, you know, you think about how the elections last time and all that was going on, it seems like you can think about the Black Lives Matter issue. Black lives do matter. There are souls that need to be saved. But the raging from that, the destruction from that, tearing up towns, tearing up parts of cities, it's rage. Unsaved people raging in our country. Did we ever think that we'd ever see this? Folks, the time has come. The time has come. Another sign, this rage is another sign of the end times or time nearing the rapture of the church. The question that we've all had on our hearts and minds for many, many years. All of us that's been saved for years. I was saved when I was 13. Back in 1973. No, 63. I'm sorry. I'm old. I started hearing about these things when I was in the teens. And people questioning the raging of the nations back then. And now the raging of the nationalities, people groups in our country. I never thought, and a lot of us say that we'd ever see these things in this great country that we have. The picture of society and the characteristics of this international conflict and the atmosphere of confusion and violence and distress, people being distressed, men hurrying along here and there in haste, armies being called out, troops marching in place to place, kings and rulers earnest conference together, the United Nations, and political people and diplomats being plunged into one crisis right after the other. It fits so well. You can go in many, many verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament that this fits the pattern that the Bible sets for us to be ready. The conflict, the diplomats, and all that. And they're not going to solve it. We know that. The only one that's going to solve this mess, it's got to the point, is when Christ comes back to earth. And that's after the 7-year tribulation period. At the rapture, we all meet him in the air. then after the 7 years, we'll come back to earth. That's when it'll get solved. But we have to wake up and realize and tell people that this crisis that we have on our hands here, there is no better description than the chaos conditions today of this world, of what's getting ready to happen. Remember weeks ago I talked about we have spaces of time. We had the 70 years when the church got started up until the destruction of the temple. It was kind of an in-between stage of the New Testament church getting started. And I believe, and what I can understand and read, and some men may differ, that we're in a time period now in the church age getting ready to go to the rapture of the church. It's a period of time that all this stuff is bubbling up to the surface that the Bible tells us was going to happen. Today's current affairs, if you sit back and look at them, it's a mess. Then we can ask, why do people imagine vain things? What are so many people filling their minds with nonsense? Folks, the devil is a liar and the father of it. People that are not saved are believing the lies. It's sad to say that we have so many leaders today. So many leaders today that I believe that are not saved. It's hard to imagine some of them being saved in some of the things that they say on the media. It's scary to listen to some of the stuff. Why are they filled with their minds with such nonsense and don't understand the truth, don't understand the main characteristic of society today is individual confusion and people living with this confusion. We see it across the board. We see this confusion in, let's just take it to the basics. Look at families. Look at the confusion. Single parent homes. No parent homes. Children living with grandparents. And where's the parents? Either in jail or gone or left. Many, many messes. You know, and we ministered to those young'uns this week in Vacation Bible School. What a blessing it was to have a class of 9-year-old boys. And you tell them a Bible story and they just soak it up. You can see it in their eyes. And God was kind to us to give us 41 salvations this week with young'uns. Wasn't nothing we did, it's what He did. And it's what He does when we preach the Word. When we preach the Word. We can't save anybody, but God's Word can. And that's what the world needs to hear right now. The great confusion of families. Then we can take it a step higher. Then where do we go? We go into our government confusion. Have we ever seen a time of confusion in our government? They said this or that, or they can't say, or they missay, or don't know what to say, or you ask them a question and they start talking about something else. It's just mass confusion. And a lot of people that you talk to, they say, I just don't get it. I don't understand. Where are we at? I mean, what's this guy saying? What's he saying? What's that saying? It's not just the leader of this great nation. Praise the Lord for this great nation. We're celebrating the 4th of July. Oh, by the way, I wore my British socks today. So that way I can look at him and pray for Levi, knowing he's on the field there in England that we separated from. 4th of July. But the nation is raging, the individual confusion, vain things, vanity, emptiness. the world imagines means fill their heads with philosophies basically that are empty. Many intelligent people are building their lives on absolute nonsense. Folks, I was in a meeting this past week or so ago. Most of you know I'm involved in the coal business as an engineer. And we had to go to a meeting that's required by our government to have a hearing with the public if they request it. Well, of course they requested it. Someone sitting in Colorado sent a letter in representing the Sierra Club and asked all these people to show up. Well, not a lot of them showed up. But what confusion, folks. I felt so sad for some of these folks. I mean, it was a sad, sad situation. Bless their hearts, they just need a good case of Jesus. You know, they just have had their heads filled with nonsense. This, I could get off on this energy thing. It's just craziness. There's no science behind any of this global warming stuff. It's just not there. Anyway, I'm there. Nonsense, confusion, filling these people's heads with basically just empty stuff. What's the answer? Man has rejected and ignored God. He's rejected and ignored God. Verse 2 says, the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They don't want to be controlled. People don't want to have anybody standing over them saying, now, you can't do this or you can't do that. You need to be this way. Why do you think this movement years ago came to remove the Ten Commandments from courthouses? They even tried to removing God We Trust from our money and our buildings in Washington. They don't want anything to do with God because they want what they want. It's called being selfish, self-centered. I want what I want. I will. Now, where'd you hear that at? We know where it comes from. It comes from the devil. I've jumped ahead of myself here. In Isaiah chapter 14, it talks about Lucifer and his I wills. Now art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst waken the nations. Thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above all heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. I will. Self-centered. I want this, and I want it my way, and nobody's going to tell me any difference. And I'm afraid the first answer is the ignorance of our leadership. They just don't know the truth. We need born-again Christians as leaders in this country. The golden rule in their head today that runs this great nation and the world, the man with the gold makes the rule. As a mining engineer, I've worked with people that was worth multi-millions. And it was the ruin of their life. The ruin of their life and their children's lives. And very few of them ever recovered from it. They died in ruin. Money doesn't solve anything. But the world strives after it. Governments strive after it. In today's world, the dollar, the Bitcoin, the UK, the Euro, and on and on and on, and the financial market, and all this stuff is raging. We hear it all the time. Confusion, confusion. Man is the answer to all the confusion. Man's self-sufficient, self-confident, feels he can solve any problem without God. Folks, we can't do anything without God. The rulers make counsel together. The nations will not acknowledge God as their own source of help. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when we have political leaders that'll stand up and say, "I'm for killing babies." Now, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. That's what God's Word says. It's murder. And we have confused politicians that are standing up for that. That's not right. And you think God's going to let that go on? Folks, it's going to come to an end, a screeching halt. God will just allow so long for all this confusion and mass ignorance to go on. This world that we live in, many Christians are guilty of the same sin. They fail to acknowledge God in all their ways. Folks, we can fall into that. We can let this world, watching this crazy old TV and hear all this garbage, don't fall into the worldly confusion and think that, well, maybe that's the way it is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, in all thy ways, in your marriage, in raising your children, in your business, in your churches, in everything that you do, in all your ways. All means all. But people want to choose. That's Psalms 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not onto your own understanding." Against the Lord, against his anointing. I mean, just look at us. The great country that we live in, and God we trust, is written on our money and on our buildings in Washington, D.C. In God we trust. 10 commandments been removed from buildings, and they'd remove it all if they'd let them, if they could get by with it. The day will come probably when they get it done. Because they don't want to have God telling them, they don't want that in front of their face, because people that look at the Word or look at the 10 commandments, it convicts them. The Bible convicts. It convicts. If you read the Word, it'll convict you. I don't know. I don't care what kind of Christian you are. We have a sin nature. And if we read the Word, it'll stomp on our toes somewhere. You'll get your toes mashed. And you need to heed to that. That's a problem now. There's nobody listening to God's Word. Their antagonism is directed not only towards God, but also His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The very concept of self-existent, self-sufficient, God is opposed to man's concept of his own self-centered self-sufficiency in everything. This self-sufficient society, we've seen that preached, this philosophical thinking that you're going to hold yourself up or you're going to be good enough. See, the preacher's been preaching in the last 2 or 3 months, what's the truth? People believe the truth is what they think is the truth, not what the Word says. There's only one truth, folks. There's only one truth, and it's right here. Not what you think, not what the news thinks, not what some professor in colleges thinks. So we go back to Psalms 2 there. And he that setteth, now I don't want to go there yet. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. What's that saying right there in verse 3? It's saying we don't want to have any of these people controlling us in any way. I don't want the government controlling me. I don't want the churches controlling me. I'm going to do what I want to do. We can see this in our society today. This agnosticism against Jesus started in his first coming and will continue until his second coming. First coming be at the cross, second coming after the 7-year tribulation. It will continue to then. Mankind's going to rage. Sin is going to rage. But you know, we've been talking about that scroll that's been opened up. The seven seals. And we stopped on that seventh seal. Because that seventh seal is getting ready to open up what God's going to do to take care of sin that's left in this world. That's coming, folks. Against God. Without faith. In a self-existing God, life makes no sense. This against the anointed Messiah that died on the cross, this the doctrine that we preach, it takes away, it's completely opposite of the doctrine of man that is in our society today, that we are self-sufficient. We are not self-sufficient. I can do nothing without God in my life. This self-sufficient has got our society in the mess that it's in today. Selfless man lives for no one but himself. I mean, just think about the raging. Because of this self-centered, selfless man without God, the raging of people. You can see it on the highways. My goodness, you can't even drive as slow as you want to drive without somebody blowing their horn or shaking their fist at you. It's on and on. People act like they just live with a chip on their shoulder. It's a sinful mess where we've gotten. This liberty that we live in, this great country, the liberty that we have, the freedom that we have is being perverted. Satan perverts everything. The liberty that we have, the women's lib movement, the gay liberation movement. The movement this week, what the court did is a victory for the unborn lives of this country. But they're raging because of that. Did you see their reaction? Did you see how hateful they were? Unsaved, self-centered. I want what I want. No matter who it hurts. No matter if it does kill my child. And the gay lifestyle, we know the Bible speaks against it. But they don't want to look at God's word. That's why they don't want the Ten Commandments pasted up everywhere. It makes them think what they're doing. They don't want to hear the truth. And you try to say the truth, and how do they act? Well, let's talk about that. No, they get violent. They get raging. You can see it on the news. They rage. It's sin, folks. The world is just... The desire to overthrow restrictions, not only the liberty of this great country, the truth of God's word, and anything else that stands in their way, anybody's life, they stand on them. They'll stand on them and stomp them in the ground. My liberty goes to where it hurts somebody else, and then I have to stop. People don't understand that concept anymore. The liberty of this great nation, the freedom that we have to live and do and go and come and have jobs and earn a living and worship in any church that we want to worship in. They want to stop all that. Who is they? You've got individuals. They want their way. You've got individuals that's in our local government. We got individuals in our national government. Folks, this thing goes all the way up. Mankind is a sinner. Period. So how do we deal with that? How does God deal with that? Just as we had Vacation Bible School this week, how did we deal with it? Those kids come out of the world into this church, and we is allowed to preach the word. Amen. Tell them the truth, and you see them bow their heads and get saved. Not because what we said, but because of the word, the power behind it, the Holy Spirit power driven words, words of God. Mankind's thinking can be really summed up. Let's just get rid of all the restrictions. The philosophy is basically man is good. We're just good. Everybody's good. I'm good. You good? I'm good. You can worship whatever God you want, and I'll worship God I want. That's good. I'm good. It's just got so shallow. So shallow. And folks, I'm afraid that that's seeping into our church today. Preacher Lasley preached on it 20 years ago. Birdbath Christians. They're about as shallow as this piece of paper in their knowledge of the word. Why? Because they don't read it. Birdbath Christians. Folks, it's coming in on us. Don't let it get you. Don't let the world affect you. Keep reading the word. Keep believing what God says. This philosophy saying that man is good and restrictions are bad, this has been taught. We can see the evidence of this since early 60s. When we started taking prayer out of the school, these colleges started having professors that taught philosophical stuff that in many, many areas of life, particularly in the area of child rearing, they just messed up families. These kids back then went to these schools and heard this nonsense, got married and had children, and now their children and their children are a mess. No wonder society is where it's at today. This has been coming on for years, but it's never been as bad as we see it today. I'm just telling you, the disciples were seeing it. Back on Mount Olives, they asked Christ, they said, what's going on here? When's the end coming? And he started telling them, and we studied that. But folks, the root of the whole problem is the sin of mankind is causing all this mess. It is a mess. Man's thinking, get rid of all the restrictions. Basically, they're saying that these restrictions, you're telling me not this or not that. They want to focus on the nots. Saying, I can't be good if you keep telling me not to do this or that. If you give me those, it's not going to be good for me. I'm good right now. I'm just good. So you see, it's just absolutely, it's out of hand. With no concept of the ultimate authority and the responsibility that man has, with this philosophical idea that he has, it allows him to do anything that he wants. And they think that's good. Folks, we all know it's a mess. And I'm going to have to quit. Next week, we're going to look at the next part of this. I'm going to look at a view from heaven. Look at some more things, how God's looking down on all this. And more indications of the return of Christ, the rapture. So let's all pray for this country. Pray for people. Pray for people you know. Pray for these kids that got saved this week, the 41 that got saved. They need our prayers because they went back into that society. They have Jesus in their heart now, but they went back in to live in that society. Pray that they can be a witness to their friends and their family. Pray for all the follow-ups that's going to be done in the weeks to come with all these kids. Lord, we need to make a change, and the only way we can do it is preach the word. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your salvation. A free gift. All we have to do is believe and understand that our sins will take us to hell. And that you died to save us from that. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Lord, we pray for our country. Pray for the people in it. Pray for the world. Pray for our leaders. Lord, wake them up. Help them look to the right thing. Help our country, Lord. Lord, we pray all these things. Lord, I pray for a preacher today. You give him the words to say, they'll touch hearts and change minds and see souls saved. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.